Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for coming to Comic Book Club Live. Please give it up for your hosts, Alex, Justin, and Pete.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to Comic Book Club. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I am Pete.
And that's our man of the booth, Boothman Prime.
Boothman Prime.
And speaking of Prime, I want to report a crime. And that crime is that Pete confessed to us backstage that he stole a Van Gogh. Yeah. I think that's what happened. True. We were running kind of out here, but is that what happened, Pete?
Nope. Yeah.
No, it's not.
I want to confess that I saw Pete in Philadelphia this weekend.
Oh.
A little off-campus hang sesh with my man Pete.
JT Sizzle had a show and it was packed.
Is that
and
packed
I was like,
show?
What?
Wait,
what's
so
going on?
You went to Philadelphia and you hung out together?
Yeah,
we did.
Yeah.
Despite all the time that we spent?
Yeah, we hung out together.
Yeah. All right. I mean,
and I'll tell you what, he makes a lot more sense to me now.
Yeah.
Maybe you're the weird one.
I mean, all I could say is thanks for inviting me.
Oh,
it was an open invitation for all of America to join
the city of brotherly love.
The city of brotherly love. Mm-hmm. I was a guest on a podcast called High and Mighty that John Gaper's.
He's doing other podcasts without us, man.
Jesus Christ!
Now
you're digging into the knife, man.
Exactly. I got to hang out. Pete came to the show, hung out afterwards, and at about midnight, Pete's date for the evening was like, "It's time to go dancing."
Yep.
And I was like, "What?" And then Pete went dancing.
Yeah. Pete LePage, who
DJ
after
DJ.
Our show, after our show, which is at 7 o'clock, at like 9 o'clock, is like, I gotta get out of here.
Yeah,
I gotta leave.
Yeah, I
went dancing at midnight.
That's when the dancing started.
That's right,
man, Pete.
Yeah. How do you have that body hold up? What did it do? You're standing. You're right here in front
of
us.
That's
right.
Yeah, yeah.
What kind of dances were you doing?
Like,
tell us what sort of thing.
You danced to the music. It wasn't like I was
right,
doing
like what kind of music?
Just
was
the your body just moves to the music.
That's
like
right.
The
if
music
we did a little
music.
If we did a little music, would you show us? What
no.
Dancing is
no.
Like?
No.
I love what you mean by
appreciate
if we
your enthusiasm.
We
but
did
no.
a little music is a
well,
fun.
We're
going to
make it.
No, yeah. I don't think
there's
that's
no way
good.
Of playing music at a theater.
What about the Comic Book Club theme? Could you give us a little move for it?
No, I'm not your dancing monkey.
Okay.
And we have an amazing guest backstage who is patiently waiting for you guys
to dance. Oh.
He was out till 3 a.m.
What? Really?
Mm-hmm.
Are you
dancing.
Right, Pete? How long did you sleep the next day?
Oh,
did you get enough sleep?
Not enough. But
are you eating some good food?
No.
Come
when
on.
You go to Philly, you eat like an asshole.
That is 100% true. I ate 30 wings for that. And that was like, everyone was like, good choice. I was like, wow, I would die if I lived here. I would. That's Pete. Eat like Pete. That's Philly. That's the Philly way.
Oh, man. You're wearing that shirt right now, right?
Huh?
Eat like Pete.
Eat like Pete. That's
eat
right.
Like Pete. Excellent. Pete did mention we have a great guest. We do have a great guest today. She is the co-writer of Strange Lands from Humanoids. Ladies and gentlemen, Darcy Little Badger.
Yay!
Welcome.
Hello.
Welcome to the show.
Please come sit down.
Have a seat. Have a microphone. Thank you so much.
Thank you for coming out.
Hi.
Thank you so much for being here. I'm so excited to have you here. We do a Wednesday morning podcast called The Stack that goes up where we do reviews of books. And just, I think, like 2 weeks ago.
I want to say last week.
Maybe even last week. we read Strangelands and we're blown away by it.
Thank you.
It was so good. So I'm very excited to have you here to talk about it. Before we go too far for anybody who hasn't read the book, what's the pitch?
All right. So it's been described a couple ways, but my favorite is that it's one of the very few rom-com comics with superpowers, but it's also been described as kind of like moonlighting with superpowers for anyone who's watched that movie.
Yeah.
But it's pretty much just two people who kind of love each other, kind of hate each other, but they're stuck together and they're trying to cope with these newfound powers while being chased across the world by somebody who wants to kill them.
And one of the things that I thought was such a great twist in it, so they have these powers where they can repulse things, and if they touch, they'll basically explode.
Yes.
I have that relationship with a lot of people.
Oh, yeah? It seemed very Pushing Daisies to me. Like, that was the vibe that I got from it.
Yeah.
Was that part of the inspiration at all?
No, I actually haven't watched Pushing Daisies, but maybe Mags has. Maybe that influenced her.
This is your co-writer on it.
Yes, my co-writer, Mags of Sagio.
Yeah,
yes.
Who we had on the show a couple of months ago at this point.
That's right. Are you falling through time? What's happening with you?
Listen, man, I ate 60 wings this weekend.
Oh, wow.
Now I feel bad that you weren't there.
Yeah.
We could have ordered 100 and really made a day of it.
Well, let's take a step back. So this is a book from Humanoids. Mm-hmm. You gave us the pitch, but how did it come together? How did you come on board the project? Was it you and Mags pitching it together? Did Humanoids come to you? What's the story?
It's kind of interesting. So I was just on Twitter one day, and I got this really mysterious DM from Carla Spieg McNeil, who's one of the architects of these three new series from Humanoids that take place in the same kind of shared superhero universe. And she couldn't say much because of confidentiality, but she was like, Darcy, we have a project, and I think you'll be good for it. And I was just like, oh, I'd love to talk about it.
Oh, what a dream.
Yeah.
Of all the things that happen on Twitter, that's maybe the only good thing. Yeah. That's maybe the only good thing I've ever heard.
It's true. And like from there, actually, Mags came on later because I am... Before that, I'd done some short comics for like Native anthologies, like Moonshot, the Indigenous Comics Collection. But I hadn't done an ongoing series, so they wanted to pair me with an experienced co-writer. And Mags fit the bill, and the rest is history.
So as a pair, as writers, how do you work? Is it sending the scripts back and forth, taking like dialogue passes? What's the working relationship like?
Oh, we finally found a system that works really well for us. And what we do is we take turns with issues. One of us will, for example, do issue 2. We discuss over Skype what we want to do with it. Then the person will, either me or Mags, will write down an outline of every page, send it to the other person, make corrections, then write the script, send it to the other person, make corrections, back and forth until the editor then can look at it.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
So going from doing short stories to now this being an ongoing series, is it ongoing or miniseries? What are the challenges there for you as a writer?
I thought it would be a lot harder than it was because you're really working under deadlines and you're writing fast, but I don't know. I found it to be easy, and I think that's because even though the mediums of short stories and comics are different, I've been writing in both, like, since I was a child. It's just I hadn't published comics before.
Were there any comics you read as a kid that you particularly pulled on for inspiration that you're reading now?
I would say inspiration, but as a child, I was a little bit obsessed with Archie comics. I
mean,
that's
great. That's fantastic.
So they were my friends.
Sorry, real quick question. Betty or Veronica?
Wow. Betty, definitely.
Wow. All day or day.
Right. There you go. That's a little
There's
podcast
no question.
Crossover for you. Have you kept up with them? Have you been watching?
I want to get in with like especially Jughead's like new envisioning. Apparently he's asexual for real in the new comic series. So I'd love to read that.
Great. You also, I was doing a little reading before the show and we were talking about this. You didn't invent, but you're one of the big proponents of something called Indigenous Futurism.
Right. That's a term actually coined by Dr. Grace Dillon. And a lot of times people kind of mistake it for science fiction because there are elements of writing about the future, but it's really a way for native creatives, not just writers, but also artists, people who create music, to encapsulate our futures as well as our presence and past in kind of a self-determined narrative. So it is important, especially like... Growing up, when I went to history class, I always heard about my people in the past tense. Like, you know, the Apaches, they were around in like the 1800s. I never really heard about us today and in the future. And that was also the case in the media that I consumed, in the books that I read, the comics that I read. You know, it was always like they died off. So I do think it's important for us to put forth our own narratives that show us as we are and as we will be in the future surviving.
Do you have any examples of media that does that successfully?
So check out the anthology Walking the Clouds would be a great place to start. That is actually fiction. Native Realities, in terms of comics, has been publishing a lot of works that aren't maybe not necessarily Indigenous futurisms, though some are, but it's a great way where people who are various types of Native American are writing their own stories, being edited by other Natives, arts are by the Natives. So native realities. They're doing actually, let's see, they had to change it from Indigenous Comic Con because of trademark reasons, but I think it's Indigipop X is coming up in a couple of months if you want to check that out.
So there's going to be a bunch of comics that embrace this. That's very cool. Do you think, are there any examples of mainstream comics that do it well or don't do it well?
Oh gosh, I'm afraid to talk about ones that don't do it well.
Yeah, that's fair.
Let's just throw you under a bus here.
Okay, so I can't actually think of many in the mainstream, but I did hear there is a new series come out. Apparently it's written by Taboo from the Black Eyed Peas. So I'm going to be keeping my eye on that.
I mean, if there's anything that the Black Eyed Peas are known for, it's their comic book
world. That's true.
Know, right?
Is there anything they can't do?
Such a good band. What's your favorite song, real quick?
Nope. Pass.
So beyond that, though, you have a book that's coming out, right? What can you tell us about that?
Yes, it's called Alatsue, and it's a noir fantasy for young adults. It takes place in a small town in Texas that has secrets, of course, and the main character is
Don't
Lipan Apache. I know.
I'm from a small town with no secrets.
Really?
Is that true?
That's not true.
Not much happens there. There's a golf course.
I mean, if there were secrets, you wouldn't know about them.
No, I'm from there. I'm the one that knows the secrets.
No.
You don't know the secrets.
Oh, I don't know the secrets.
Because you're a weird drifter that blows through town.
I have.
But then you get murdered, but not in a secret way.
Oh, I see.
Just like you cross
the... Do you have any cans of beans, by the way?
What do you mean?
I'm a drifter going through town.
You're here for the beans?
Yeah.
I feel like the drifters bring the beans.
You think so?
No. What is this?
Drifter,
that's why
the
drifters are here for beans.
They're not bringing like a box of beans will log with them.
Box of beans?
Well, like you gotta eat.
Beans are in cans.
Yeah, no, I know, but I'm saying like the cans are in a box and you carry
them. I'm sorry.
What drifter has a case of beans?
This is they don't. That's what I'm saying. They don't have
but
a case
of beans.
But they're
here for the beans.
They're here for the beans.
See, I want to murder you and I'm not even in a small town.
All right. Thank you for coming on our show.
You're welcome.
Feel free to weigh in on this bean debate.
Yes. What were we talking about?
I don't know.
Small towns.
Small towns.
You were talking about your book.
No, it's pretty much just like an investigative fantasy. But one thing I like about the main character is that she can wake up ghosts, but they're animal ghosts. They're not human ghosts.
I love that.
Yeah. So what kind of animals?
Oh, there's woolly mammoths.
If you believe in ghosts, do you believe in dinosaur ghosts?
Yes.
Because that's a ghost I want to see.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like there's like hundreds of millions of years of history that are unexplored if you just focus on the animals of today.
Yeah.
Like, because a lot of dinosaurs died with unfinished business.
They were murdered. They were drifters.
Exactly. They were all drifters, and that asteroid was the... that was the drifter.
Right.
The asteroid.
And T-Rexes couldn't open up the cans of beans because they got
again,
these little...
Again, very odd that you were associating this with that. But yeah, there's a lot of animal ghosts. Think of all the ghost ants that are wandering around.
Oh my God.
I feel like I'm covered with ghost ants right now.
You probably are because we're there everywhere.
Yes. Back to Strange Lands really quickly for a moment. So you were mentioning that it is a rom-com with superpowers. Where do you start with first when you're tackling an issue? Is it what is the romantic complication for these characters going to be? Is it the plot? Is it what is the big superpowered set piece that we're going to do? Because at least with the last issue, with number 5, they're on a boat. They're stuck on a boat together. Yeah. They try to dance a little bit together, but they can't because they can't touch each other. And then an invulnerable dude falls out of the sky and attacks them. So lots of stuff going on there. So where does it start?
We actually start by planning out these 4-issue arcs, and over the process of that, we do start with what do we want these characters' goal to be? What do they want to achieve? So in 5 through 8, we actually focus more on that interrelationship between each other. So we did kind of try to build the plot around pushing them, exploring what they mean to each other, what their powers mean to them, and then take it off from there.
Cool. And that's out from Humanoids right now.
Yes.
The 5th issue just came out, possibly a week ago.
Yeah. I guess we'll never know.
And 6th issue presumably is coming out next month.
Yes.
All right. Very awesome. Cool. Definitely check all of that out.
Definitely.
And we're going to move on with our next section, which we like to call the stack.
Yeah, we do.
And in the stack, we're going to talk about a couple of comic books that came out this past week and chat about them. First one from Image Comics, Dead Eyes, number 4. Dead Eyes, number 4. I'll pass this over your way. If you want to take a look. Pete, you want to talk about this?
Yeah, this is a really cool comic that I've been enjoying. It's kind of dealing with the struggle of trying to, like, hanging up, trying to be somebody who was kind of in the business of being kind of like a badass superhero vigilante type of person and, you know, tried to get away, but it kind of keeps pulling them back in.
Ooh, that would be a good line for a movie.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
God, if you didn't have the slow clap, I would have called you a piece of shit.
Same
like
thing.
That, either way.
I kind of like the kind of main character in this and his kind of curmudgeon attitude. I relate to it very much. And it's drawn really well, and the storytelling is amazing.
This is basically a Punisher. This guy's like a Punisher.
I don't know. I don't know if that's true.
I think he is.
He punishes people.
Sure.
The art is by John McCrae, who is well known for drawing Garth Ennis books and Punisher.
Interesting.
Okay.
Are you trying to sneak a Punisher into here?
Yeah, he's a Punisher.
Trying to sneak in a pun? Let me. Was your favorite panel the one where someone's trying to punch the guy and he holds up a saw?
Yeah,
and then his hand gets sawed.
Yeah, that was great.
Yeah, it was great.
It's a great move, you know. If someone's trying to punch you,
it'd be very hard to orchestrate that.
Well, just always walk around with a saw is the answer to that.
That's a circular saw. It's a circular saw, right. And that's very difficult because there's a guard. It'd be hard to
sure.
I know about saws.
Way to be a circle saw.
This book is very good. Jerry Duggan is clearly very passionate about writing this. It's very brutal throughout, so if that's not your thing, definitely don't check it out. But it is John McCrae art, which is great, and Jerry Duggan is very confident with this sort of vigilante hero, so you know what it is going in, and they deliver on it.
I like this guy better than the Punisher, I'll give you that.
Cool.
He's not taking the bait, I see.
Nope, I guess not. No. He's right. Changed.
There you
he
go.
He grew up on the dance floor this weekend.
Did you have your first kiss?
What?
On the dance floor. Wow.
Interesting.
Oh, my God. Now I'm like, when was my... No, it wasn't.
You don't remember your first kiss?
When was it? No, it wasn't this weekend.
Wow, you really had to dig there.
Well, I was trying to think if my first kiss was on the dance floor, but it was
not. Nice.
Not like that's if good. It was this weekend or not.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Let's move on to talk about Revenge of the Cosmic Ghost Rider number 2 from Marvel Comics. He's back, and he wants revenge. Pete, I believe this is another pick of yours.
Wait a second. Is this another Punisher?
Yep.
Are you trying to sneak another pun?
I am. Snuck it right in there.
Two Punishers in here.
Yeah, a couple of them. Two back-to-back Punisher stories.
What's this like?
Can I just clarify for a second for anybody who doesn't know? So this is actually the Punisher who became a Ghost Rider and also a Herald of Galactus and now is time-traveling...
He was from another dimension too. He's come to this dimension.
So lots of stuff going on.
He briefly raised baby Thanos.
Yeah. Yeah, he still does not like picnics though. So you know it's like classic.
Not much to change. He's way more fun now. He went crazy.
A lot more fun. Yeah, after your skull's on fire, I think it affects your mental state.
If for the positive.
Yeah, and
you're saying it cheered him up.
Yeah,
you seem pretty grumpy right now. Just something to think about.
Okay, cool. What do you love about this piece?
I think it's very over the top, very creative fun. It's just kind of taking a character we all know and just kind of pushing it into crazier worlds. And these have been very popular, and you can really tell when the artist and writer are having fun on books. And I feel like this is just kind of galactic, over the top fun, and it's kind of cool.
Dennis Hopeless Hallam is the writer, and I've always liked his work. From back in the day up until now. What is interesting about the Cosmic Ghost Rider, he always seems to have like a child he's hanging out with that he's like raising.
So?
What is your deal tonight?
I don't know.
Not a burn.
Yeah,
I
just want to talk.
It's just
like,
interesting the whole thing.
You have a child that you're trying to raise.
So? No, I just think it's weird. It's interesting that this is a man with cosmic powers on a flaming motorcycle, and they're like, let's give him a kid. Like, I don't know. That just seems a little weird to me.
It is.
Usually you want to try to keep kids away from fire.
And space.
And that's skulls. How
we're parents.
Wow.
Yeah.
Keep your kids out of space.
What did you just point to me?
Because we're both parents.
Oh, okay. I thought you went add weird parents.
No, I said and we're parents.
Oh, we're
but parents. Also weird parents.
Touche. All right, last one we're going to talk about. The question, the death of Vic Sage, the deaths of Vic Sage, excuse me, book two from DC Black Label. Now, this follows Vic Sage, the classic question. It's by Jeff Lemire. The art is by Dennis Cowan. And it takes the question and is thrusting him through his various past lives. He's going on this very spiritual journey. That's kind of where it left off in the last issue. And we finally get to see a bunch of that this issue. What'd you think about this, Justin?
I really like this. So the last issue was sort of like, what's the mythos behind the question? What's the question and what's the answer and all those things like that. Yeah.
Answer's not another character, right?
Not yet, okay. But it's a great idea. Mm-hmm. So this is a standalone story where you see this character that we find out is an older question. His name is Charles Zaz, and he's in the Old West. He gets mixed up in a shitty situation, and we meet the sort of overarching, the villain for the overarching series, who is the man with 1,000 faces.
Ooh.
That's so many faces.
That's the opposite of no faces.
Yeah, it's 100% right. And it's really well drawn. It's a great story. It's a standalone, but also ties into this larger thing.
It's also an oversized issue, which I appreciate because then the art gets a lot more attention, which is nice.
What do you think about this Black Label line? Have you checked out any of this?
No, now I really want to. Just looking through this.
Yeah, they're really nice. And I was honestly kind of iffy about it at first because it was replacing Vertigo and it felt unnecessary and it launched with the whole like, what was the title of the Batman one? The one that where they showed off his peen?
let's think. Oh, I think it was The Curse of Batman's Penis.
Yes.
Was that the name of it?
No, I think it's called Where's the Batcave?
Yeah. All right. Peen.
Wow.
Where it just felt like we're trying to be more extreme Vertigo, which is a very DC thing to do. But I think very quickly they have developed it into stories like this that allow creators the space and room to explore the psychology of characters, and I appreciate that.
Yeah, that first title definitely felt like we're an edgy 90s comic, and it was like, that's so long ago now. And this feels much more in the style of like Vertigo, but still in the DC universe, which if we're not going to get Vertigo, very sad, at least we get something that is in that neighborhood, which is cool.
Yeah, there you go. And that's it for the stack.
All
right. It is time for our next section, which is my favorite section because I get to come out to you all. It's our audience questions. All you have to do is ask a question, and Pete's going to give you some free comics, and his stash is dwindling here, folks.
Yeah.
Right? But you still got some stuff to give away.
I got stuff. I got stuff.
You got stuff, dog?
Pete's it's a bad mood. He's very tired.
Oh, okay. Are you all right? You were dancing too much this weekend?
His ankles are sore.
Don't you? Is your favorite time of the show, right?
My favorite time of the show is razzing you about your cankles.
Okay.
Whoa. Oh.
Cankles?
Cankles?
How dare you, sir?
Cankles. I said it.
How dare you?
I said it. All right. We got some questions here. I already saw some hands shoot up. First up, not working.
That's going
to
be it.
All right. We'll go over here to you, Kevin. Kevin, what's your question?
Now, we've been talking about comics that have superheroics in them, but lean more heavily into other genres, rom-coms, mysteries, westerns. What are some of your favorite comics that may include superheroics, don't necessarily need to, but are more heavily in other genres?
That's a good... The first one that comes to mind for me is a Bone by Jeff Smith, because it started as sort of like a...
classic J2 sizzle.
It started as like just a fun humor comic and then got into some like pretty heavy fantasy mythology stuff by the end of it. And I love the flexibility to jump genres like that and take the risk.
There was... I'm almost definitely blanking on the title here. I think it was Love and Capes... is this ongoing series where it was a superhero rom-com, and it leaned into that. It was a very cartoony style, but it was mostly about a Superman-style character who ended up married to his Lois Lane-style character, and it much more focused on their life at home.
Oh, Superman. You think of Superman.
Superman. That's what it was. No, again, I think it's called Love and Capes. I'll double-check the title. Yeah. Love and Games, thank you.
There it is.
And it's great. It's super funny. It's very charming. The characters are very good. Occasionally, there's a little action, but that's definitely not the focus. Darcy, do you have a...
So, like, I read a lot of horror, but I don't want to get into, like, the really dark stuff I read, but... The latest thing.
All right. Whoa. Okay. We're not old enough to hear this.
I've got
to
think of my young adult audience sometimes.
I see. You mean us, right?
No.
Can't say this in front of those idiots.
So, like, not hard, but let's see. I am currently reading Bingo Love, and I just adore it. And just solidly, like, very, like, sweet, kind of romantic slice of life almost.
Yeah, that's nice. Super cute as well.
So this started off as an old black and white TV show that I saw as a kid, but then it became a comic book, and I'm talking about Mask of Zorro.
Okay.
And yeah, I felt like it was done really well over at Dynamite, and I've loved all those issues.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to do a Batman joke, like, and eventually he saw a bat.
Nice. Oh, like the movie,
yeah,
Joker.
The movie.
Like the movie Joker.
Yes.
Yeah. That where Batman,
which is my favorite movie.
Yep. Mm-hmm. No, yes. You and the Academy.
Yes, absolutely.
Those are the only two people, though.
What? Me Alex
and,
is the
me
Academy.
And Academy.
Yeah, you and then the Academy. The only people who like that movie.
Great. I don't like that movie. Yeah. Just to clear the air there.
So only one person likes it. You're saying
Academy.
Yep.
Yes. we're losing track of the show. All right, you sir, come on up. What's your name? What's your question?
Hi, my name is Jesus. How you doing? So speaking of indigenous representation in comics, are there any indigenous tropes or stereotypes you see a lot of writers use that you just wish they would stop?
Yeah.
Good question. Yes.
nope.
No, the answer is yes.
I'm like, how much time do we have? No, yeah. I'm just kidding. These are just, like, personally for me, I'm a little bit tired of Westerns and 1800s, and there's nothing wrong with that generally. It's just that seems to be, like, the majority of stuff, especially with Apache people. But one thing I would like to see more of is more nerds who are native, because, like, I mean, I assembled the transcriptome of a phytoplankton species. Like, I'm a huge nerd, and I just don't see that very often.
Cool. Great answer.
That's great.
Do we have other questions out there? You, sir, all the way back there, why don't you come up? Hey, Pablo, what's your question?
Hello, Alex.
Really blew up his spot.
Hello, everyone.
There.
Hello,
Pablo.
Since we're going to, let's go back to the YA thing. So, since superheroes tend to transition into different genres, what is the most unique superhero that can go there, that can fly, that could work well with the YA genre?
Superhero for the YA world.
Punisher?
Nice.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, P, why don't you handle this question?
Yeah. I mean, most of them, right? Like, aside from a Punisher or Wolverine, you could, or even Wolverine, honestly, like, you could do a YA book about Wolverine, I think. What's your take on it?
I don't know. I'm trying to think of what I really enjoyed when I was a teenager. I was really into, like, X-Men, Spider-Man. I mean, they're not, well, I guess Spider-Man's a teenager, so, but... I don't know. I don't really see much of a difference between the superheroes I liked then and the superheroes I like now.
Yeah, I think that's the whole... Yeah. I mean, comics were originally sort of for YA, for kids. So I think it's always... There's always, like... Even though sometimes it feels like one very little toe is left in, like, this is still for... kids should be able to read this. I think it almost any superhero, I think, could be moved there. I think the Punisher is an example of, like, one that you would not, especially the way Punisher has evolved over the years.
He's gotten cooler.
No, that's not what I was saying. But, yeah, and I think the thing that I think would keep kids out of stuff is, like, just the density of some comics and the intense continuity where it feels like it's almost like work to read them. A lot of superhero comics sort of get into that. And that to me feels like more of a barrier to a hero or villain or team becoming YA available, as opposed to any sort of, like, it's too dark or it's too heavy.
I really respect what DC has been doing lately with their YA graphic novel line. I don't know how many people have been reading them, but they've been reading things like they had a Harley Quinn graphic novel that recontextualized her story, made her a teen in high school. She's still dealing with the Joker. She's dealing with Batman, all of the Gotham City villains, but it is through the lens of telling a YA story, and it's like very slightly manga-ized. But then they also have a Nightwing one, I think... I'm forgetting there was a Catwoman one, there was a Raven one, Beast Boy, Mera, yeah. And they deal with some very heavy stuff in some of them, but that's exactly what you want out of a YA novel. And they're good reads. Like, I've been passing them to my daughter, and she just reads them three times in a row and loves them.
Wow. And thorough.
Thorough.
She
man.
Is. Three She's times. Memorizes everything.
Wow.
There you go. My daughter is great, guys. That's the main lesson of the show.
What a weird parent.
Yeah.
Thanks, man. I think we can take one more question if anybody has one. What's your name? What's your question?
I'm John. I love futurism, but do you think the genre requires quite a dark view of the present so that by contrast, the future appears brighter?
Yeah, not at all. Like, I actually have read a lot of works, especially like short fiction. I read a lot of indigenous futurisms in the short fiction that actually embrace how wonderful our lives could be currently. You know, it's not all just, you know, suffering porn and stuff, which you get a lot of when non-natives write about natives. They're like, oh, there's so much poverty and they're all dying and sad. And that's not necessary. I mean, I'm a very happy person, I think.
But so indigenous futurism is sort of responding to what you were talking about portrayal, portrayal being aimed toward the past, while sort of classic futurism is about how it sucks now, but let's hope it gets better in the future.
Yeah.
So maybe that's the line there. That's so interesting to me to sort of be just breaking out of the past tense state of most indigenous people and just be like, why don't we try the present? Yeah. Because I hadn't been exposed to that before. It's so interesting.
Yeah, and that's a good point. It's like its whole other thing than other types of futurism.
Cool. Thank you for your questions. That's it for your audience questions. All right. We're going to move on to trivia. And for that, we're going to turn over to Mr. Pete LePage.
All right.
Pete LePage, bringing the trivia heat.
All right. So this is the part we give back to you, the lovely audience. It's an opportunity to win $25 free in the form of a gift card to Midtown Comics. Who would like a $25 free? A simple raising of the hand. Casual hand up guy. Come on down.
Nice. Every time.
Casual every time, hand
casual
up
beat.
Guy.
All right. And please remind us of your name again, sir.
Hi, I'm Jesus, casual arm guy.
Yeah.
Casual arm guy.
Jesus, and, audience Jesus.
You've been called that for years. That's a standing nickname for you.
Oh, yeah,
right?
Since I was born. It was great.
I'm nailing it.
Yeah.
We're just nailing it.
So listen to the question. Listen to all three possible answers. Get all three questions right. $25 yours. Here we go. Today's trivia is on topical comic news.
Okay. Yeah. Sticking to the genre. Right. Love it.
Here That's we good. Go.
But still, this is very fresh, very topical.
There's a new Batman villain that is being teased. It has some connection to the Joker. What is the name of this new villain? Is it A, Punchline, B, Laughing Gas, or C, Will Arnett? So it's either A, or you could pick B.
I'm going to go with Punchline.
Punchline great is choice. Correct, yes.
Laughing Gas, not a great name for a villain.
Hey, I was trying, all right?
That's not an insult to you, just the concept.
All right, well.
So you write these questions.
That is true. That is true.
Well, I never imagined. I never knew that.
You thought I had a whole team?
Yeah, I thought you had a writer's room.
The question is just so creative. I thought
you
had
thank
exactly.
you so much.
I thought
oh,
you had,
man.
People working around the clock, researching topical news, ripping headlines from the
so
blogs.
So question number two.
Great.
There is a new Black Widow title dropping in April before the movie in May. Who is writing it? Is it A, Greg Pak? B, Kelly Thompson, or is it C, Christian Chenoweth? So it's either A, Greg Pak, or it's B.
And just to mention, Chenoweth doesn't exist. It's Christian Chenoweth.
Sorry.
Real takedown, this guy. The notes. He's coming.
Fuck you.
Look at this guy heckling you. What? You believe he's heckling you during trivia?
Yeah, I know.
That's especially the because when, when the
anytime
one time
this guy talks, you can't understand what he's saying anyway. He stumbles over shit all the time, too. So it's like...
Oh, I'm sorry. The banter made me forget the answers again. What was B again?
B is correct. B is correct.
Okay. Sorry, Kelly just, Thompson. Real quick, not to interrupt this, but I'm going to have to kill Pete. Yeah.
Bring I'm sorry you had to be here for this casual hand-up guy, but this is going down right
casual
now.
Casual hand-up guy is used to murder.
It's yeah.
All right, great. Here we go. Speaking of murder, who is the new Punisher villain coming back in this new... Oh, I shouldn't say new Punisher. Who is the old Punisher villain coming back in the new series starting in April? Is it A, Barracuda, B, Jigsaw?
I'm or glad I'm the only one on the show who stumbles over things, by the way.
Yeah, yeah. No problem. I did that on purpose. Just to make you
to make me feel better.
Yeah,
should
yeah
I just sit down? Is
yeah,
that
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Nah, just give him the money, Pete.
Or is it C, Jeff Daniels? So it's either Barracuda, if you would like $25, or you could be wrong.
Barracuda?
$25.
Congratulations, Jesus.
Now, as we all may know, there is a secret quiz inside of this quiz. The third answers of Pete's questions hide a riddle. A riddle that will reveal a Robin Williams movie.
That's right.
For some reason.
For some reason.
And I will say it's definitely not a riddle. It's a list of of other stars in the movies that may also feature Robin.
Speaking of stars, real quick, back to the star of trivia, Pete LePage. What are your third answers today?
Will Arnett, Christian, and then Kristen, and then what's
Chenoweth?
Chenoweth, and then Jeff Daniels.
Okay,
nice.
Does anybody know what Robin Williams movie Pete is talking about? Anybody? Wow, total mystery.
And let me just say real quick while we're mulling this over,
I'll give you a little hint. He's driving a giant vehicle. RV.
RV.
Yeah. Wow, there you go.
Everyone's favorite Robin. Everyone's favorite.
He loves it.
Everyone's favorite Robin Williams vehicle, RV.
See? He loves that movie.
That's great. Let me just say, it's very funny to me that you stand up. This show we've been doing for 13 years.
Sure.
Going on 14.
I think it's 14 at this point.
14 years.
Yeah.
And you stand in front of the crowd and say, what Robin Williams movie is Pete talking about? It's a very funny, I don't want to say end point, but a sort of a vanishing point. Or it's like, look how far we've come.
Right.
Almost like
I
something.
I'd frame it as, how did we get here?
Yes, sure, exactly. Sure. How did we get here? Yeah. Secret trivia, a secret trivia.
And it's funny, it has been a slow decline into getting
here. I don't think it's a decline. It's like when you are planning a trip. Say you're going on a camping trip. And you're like, we're going to hike to the top of this mountain. And you're like, how did we get into this lava pit that we're slowly burning in?
Yeah.
Because we went off the map.
And the first place is a secret quiz that's been running for 5 years called the Punisher Quiz that Pete didn't tell anybody about.
Secret quiz.
And then it went uphill, is what you're saying, from there.
I love the quizzes. Let me be
honest. They are great. It would be nice if we had a third secret quiz after the Punisher quiz and the Cypher quiz.
There is.
But there is.
No one's unlocked it yet.
Yeah.
Interesting.
That's true.
Yep.
Interesting. It's out there for everyone to see.
Yep.
There's a secret code.
There's a secret code that unlocks the third quiz, I guess.
Yeah, I guess we'll never know.
You know what else is unlocked? New Comic Book Day.
Yes.
That's happening tomorrow. We recommend you go to Midtown Comics because they've been nice enough to sponsor the show. Pete, what are you looking forward to?
Once and Future number 6 of 6.
Mm.
I don't think it's 6 of 6.
It is going to continue, but this is the 6th.
Right.
It is to be continued.
6 of 7 ...
Well, I'm just saying what's written on the comic book.
Okay, sure.
Yeah. It's the end of the first arc.
Yes. What are you looking forward to with this?
Well, this is just a real creative take on the classic tale of like Camelot and all that kind of stuff, and it's really well drawn, amazing storytelling. And, you know, it's just about a guy backing up his grandma. You know,
Yeah. Yeah, it's really nice.
That's not exactly what it's about.
It is, too, what it's about.
It is about that.
Yeah.
Sure. There's just other stuff that it's also about.
Sure. Things.
But that's your favorite thing.
That's my favorite part of it, yeah.
Yeah. Just don't pick up the book being like, oh, it's about a guy backing up his grandma.
Yeah, this is a perfect.
Sure, that's one of the things that happened.
This is a perfect comic to sit down and read with your grandmother.
Right. It's like the movie Seven is about what surprises can you find in a box?
Exactly. A perfect movie to show at a child's birthday.
Exactly.
Because that's when you open presents.
Now, if you want to hear a review of that, we do that. I have that in our Stack podcast that's coming up Wednesday at 9 a.m., both in its dedicated Stack feed, also in the Comic Book Club feed. What are you looking forward to?
I'm looking forward to Guardians of the Galaxy number 1.
Wow.
This is a comic by Marvel Comics.
thanks.
Made famous for the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Okay.
Which are the movies. Yeah. And,
do you not know who's movies? Writing it? Is I that do, why you're that? Doing this?
Which movies were
the Cinematic Universe.
Okay.
So you have movies with a lot of characters who do a lot of stuff in space. And
oh,
stuff.
Okay.
And,
in space?
And also
like
on Earth.
Ad Astra.
Yes, exactly. I believe that movie is in the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Okay, The Martian.
The Martian, also very good. Space.
What is happening?
Pete, we review pop culture on this podcast, and that's what we're talking about.
We're journalists who review pop culture.
This is topical. This is topical.
Technically, you have to put journalists in quotes.
Everybody is talking about both Ad Astra and The Martian right now, so I think it's important for us to talk about
this section has topical comic news. Guardians of the Galaxy number 1. It's written by Al Ewing. Who's also doing Immortal Hulk, and that book is fantastic. That book is a very dark take on the Hulk, horror, a lot of like wild different situations he's put in.
That's not what's happening in this book.
You got that right. That's exactly what I was building up to in my language and
it
words.
Didn't seem like you were.
Well, trust me, if you just listen to the very end of the sentence.
I can't make it that long. You're boring me in the middle.
I'm boring you. My co-host, my fan, my friend, be the page. I'm boring
him. This is what I was saying at the top of the show. Pete cannot wait to get out of here.
Exactly. He's got to go dancing.
He's like, I got to go.
He's got to go dancing. He's not in a good mood. I should have never brought up the dancing.
Like a reverse Cinderella.
At midnight is when
at midnight the glass shoes go on.
Yeah.
And shit gets crazy.
Everything else comes off. You know what I'm talking about.
That's such a weird
idea.
Get
to the goddamn thing so we can move on.
And in this book, I'm excited to see Al Ewing's take on this. Especially, it doesn't feel like it's going to be that sort of horror take. And he's such a good writer. I'd like to see where it goes.
Cool. Yeah. We'll also have a review of that in our Stack podcast.
What a weird coincidence.
Hey, here's a rare hat trick of what we're going to review in our Stack podcast. I'm looking forward to Firefly number 13.
Oh, wow.
It's coming out from Boom Studios. They released a one-shot set in the Firefly universe by Greg Pak called The Outlaw Ma Reynolds. It was all about Mal Reynolds from Firefly having to arrest his own mother.
And
this is a spoiler, but he ended up being a sheriff working for the very people that he's been opposing this entire time.
The bad guys.
It's twist!
Such a fun setup. That's what they're following up in this issue and ongoing in the series. That's great. Like, I love seeing that sort of bold shakeup in the universe. Mm. It takes it entirely out of the initial concept of Firefly, and that's a fun place for them to go.
Totally agree.
There you go. Darcy, plug your stuff. What should people be checking out?
Check out Strangelands. Issue 5 just came out. Issue 6 is coming. And also stay tuned for my book, A Lat's Away. Multiple people get like smashed by a woolly mammoth ghost.
Yes.
So cool. Definitely going to check that out.
Very excited.
Couple of other things from us that you want to probably check out. We do a Lock and Key podcast called Lock and Key Unlocked that is very quickly counting down to the Netflix series. We've been recapping every volume of the book, and please do subscribe to the Lock and Key Unlocked feed in particular because we're going to have a bunch of fun surprises and bonus things.
Do we get to say any of those surprises?
I mean, I think we could say one of them that we taped the last night.
We have an interview. We talked with Gabriel Rodriguez, the artist for Lock and Key for like an hour. It was so fun. He's the nicest man. He's such a nice guy.
Yeah, and that's just the beginning of it. So definitely subscribe to that if you're a fan of Lock and Key like we are, because we are going to have cool stuff like that rolling into that feed. Also, Riverdale After Dark, our Riverdale podcast, is coming back very, very soon, as in tomorrow, hopefully. Check that out and subscribe there. Also, Chilling Podcast of Sabrina is coming back this Friday.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, man, that's very soon as well. We're going to have 8 episodes of that tying into the Netflix series and a bunch of other stuff coming soon. So stay tuned to all of your podcast feeds for all of that. Pete, what do you want to plug?
Friend us on Facebook so you get to know about the amazing guests we have in our live show.
Follow us on Twitter at Comic Book Live.
You can support this show and all the podcasts we do at patreon.com/comicbookclub and get a bunch of fun bonuses. We have a Slack. We have fan club mailings, other things like that that you can check out. iTunes, Android, Spotify, Stitcher, or the app of your choice if you want to subscribe. And please do comment on iTunes. That helps us quite a bit. We really appreciate it as well. Comicbookclublive.com for this podcast. More. Couple of people we want to thank before we go. We want to thank Darcy for being on the show. Bookman Prime. The most of all, we want to thank you all. We are here every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. Totally free. Please tell your friends. Good night.
Thanks for coming out, everybody. Appreciate it.
1, 2, 3.